Okay. I call to order the regular meeting of the Oceana Community Service District Board of Directors for Wednesday, February 9th at 6 p.m., actually 6:01 p.m. May I have the roll call, please?
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Plogel?
Here.
Vice President Villa?
Here.
And President White.
Here. Okay, move on to the flag salute. I guess just follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Thank you. Go on to the agenda review, and I have a change that I think we need to make on the agenda. We need to move 8A, the presentation from the demographer regarding the creation of a division-based electric system. We need to move that forward. There's a time challenge, and so I think we can move that forward.
So President White?
Yeah.
Yes, the demographer has another meeting to attend after hours. So he has requested if he could be moved up on the agenda. I just checked in with him and he's having a little bit of technical difficulty. So he indicated he might be ready in 5 minutes. So perhaps if we could move him up as soon as he arrives. So I don't know how he would want to do that. Perhaps just move to take his item as soon as he's prepared to present it.
Okay. Can we get a motion on the agenda?
I move that we take item 8A as soon as the demographer is ready to present. And until then, proceed with the agenda.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. We don't need a roll call. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, then why don't we just move into public comment on matters not on the agenda?
Yes, and just to remind the public, please hit *9 if you're on their phone to raise your hand. And if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And the first hand I have raised is Lucia Castellanova. So I will unmute Ms. Castellanova.
Good evening, everyone, staff and board members. Lucia Castellanova, Oceano Beach Community Association. We would like to ask you to have a town hall meeting on the fire tax. We really want to make the right choice. There is so much misinformation out there. One day I listen to somebody and I feel one way. The other day I listen to someone else and I feel another way. So I would like all of you to come to a town hall meeting and present your views. Why yes, why not, with facts, reliable information. And we would like also to have representatives from the county, because we really want to know what would the consequences be one if the tax fire doesn't pass. With the opportunity for everyone to ask questions and make comments right there at the moment. I would like to have it real live. The county is moving towards eliminating masks in public if we are vaccinated, which I am, hopefully most of you are. But if you deem it not possible, it could be virtual. But we would like to have it in person. Please let me know what you think. Thank you very much.
Mr. Clemens, I think we already have planned to hold some kind of community meetings to inform the public. I don't know that they're set yet, though. Is that true?
We don't have anything set yet, but we certainly can. We did last time. As was mentioned, we're starting to come out of the COVID. The rules are being relaxed, so that would be up to your board when to hold it and in what format. But we could talk about that at maybe during future agenda items.
Just to clarify, though, I believe the state's mask mandate expires on the 15th, but the county has not lifted the county mask mandate at this point.
That's true, although I did see in the paper today that the county is going to follow the state's lead and lift theirs as well.
Okay, any other public comments?
Yes, the next hand I have raised is Charles Barney.
Thank you. I just got into the meeting, so tell me if I'm out of order, but I want to talk about the proposed fire tax. And I support Lucia, the Oceano Beach Community Association request to have a public forum for, in fact, maybe multiple public forums where all sides are listened to and data is provided. We need a report from the OCSD, an economic impact report of the what will happen if the tax proposal does not pass. And I have serious doubts whether it will. The proposed tax is highly unfair to the Oceano community. It favors the wealthy very clearly over the working class people in our community. And it is an unfair tax, especially in light of the county continuing to rip off the hard-earned taxes in our community from our businesses that should be going to us, like the transient occupancy tax that could pay for fire services. That's what the cities do. Why can't we do it? So I'm real concerned about it, and I want to see us have the service levels that we deserve, but this is a serious situation, and I think you've gotten your... So we need this report from you to say exactly what the consequences will be, laid out numbers, people signing letters from the county, not this Wade Horton mafioso kind of like threatening, like, we're going to take away your buildings and we're going to put more taxes on you. And it's like, no, don't stand for that. Let's get the real facts and then we can all make a decision. You know, hopefully make the same decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
And that was the last hand I had raised.
Okay. Should we go on staff reports then?
Yes. And tonight we do not have Commander Wells or Chief Lieberman with us.
And I assume we hear from Tony Maricino?
Yes.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 29.8% full, which is 14,732 acre feet. We had zero SSOs in the month of January. We are still taking state water only, which was 33.06 acre feet. And we had pumped 12.25 acre feet of groundwater. So for the past 2 weeks, we're doing our daily and weekly samples. We had 6 work orders, 14 USAs, 7 customer service calls. We had 0 after hours call outs. We had finished our common codes from the meter reads. We had to repair a service lateral that was leaking on Strand Way. First of the month equipment startups. We had a weed abatement and a well 8. We had an APCD inspection that went really well. We have a 1,000-gallon diesel fuel tank at well 8. That if we're no longer going to be using, we're going to need to start planning on getting rid of it. We're continuing to do trash pickups. And as for January, 311 tickets, we had 5. We had to relocate a couple services on 17th Street. And there was a new service installed on McCarthy for a new build. There was a service line in the alleyway of Paso that was broke due to a dumpster. And it broke on the homeowner's side. For us to help out to correct that, we had poured a, once the repair was done, we poured a concrete pad around our meter box and put up a bollard so the roll-off dumpster will not damage it when getting picked up by the trash company. And we also concreted in the box on 17th Street after relocating the services. Any questions?
Yes, I have one. In regards to the water meters, do you ever find defective ones, or how does that work?
So for water meters, they're a positive displacement meter, which actually over time they start to slowly under register. That is the only thing I have found in the 10 years that I've been with the district. I've never seen one over register, and we've had a few of them tested by the city of Arroyo Grande per AWWA standards. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, good to know.
Yes.
Any other questions? Let's move on to manager, Mr. Clemens.
Yeah, just a few things that we're currently working on, kind of a preview for our next meeting. We have some deadlines for our grant on the stormwater capture and groundwater recharge project at the Oceano Elementary School. Next meeting, we should bring to you a construction easement with Lucia Mar Unified School District for approval. Also at our next meeting, we're going to bring to you an authorization letter to allow the IWMA to apply for an SB 1383 local agency grant. They'll be applying for a grant on behalf of their member agencies to help implement SB 1383. To provide some efficiencies so that everybody doesn't have to apply for the grant themselves and duplicate efforts. Today we had our Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee meeting, and it's good to hear that the Flood Control District is working with CCWA in Santa Barbara County on a pilot program. It's a drought mitigation program to trade capacity in the state water pipeline for water. So the way it would work would be they would provide 1,000 acre feet of the flood control district stored water in San Luis Reservoir to CCWA in exchange for 1,000 acre feet of capacity that could be used to deliver to state water subcontractors in our county. And that's good news for us because we could access that extra state water and turn around and sell it to anyone who's in need. So that would essentially provide us reliability should Arroyo Grande want to enter into an agreement for a water supply. So good things happening there and more to come on that as we move down the road. And that's about all I have to report.
Thank you. Any questions on the reports? On his report?
Yeah, I have a question for Mr. Clemens. As I mentioned to you, I've seen some of the recycling bins that the OCSD installed around town overflowing with trash. People are wish cycling and putting in items that really ought to be put in the gray bin right next door, but they're contaminating the recyclable bin instead. I suggested that the OCSD could attach the educational stickers from the IWMA that show what is recyclable and what's trash to those bins to try and eliminate some of that contamination. I was wondering if you would please inform the board and the public of why you don't want to do that.
Yeah, staff made the decision not to put stickers on our new trash cans.
And why is that?
It's an operational decision. So we won't discuss that at an open meeting like this.
I think we should discuss it.
No, I'm not going to discuss it.
We've got new bins and we're not educating the public at the point of disposal when we could be.
Not the appropriate place to discuss it.
Where is the appropriate place, Mr. Clemens?
It's an operational decision.
President White?
Yes. Yes, it's an operational decision. It's not, we don't get to, you know, a board of directors doesn't get to direct every little minute detail when they're serving.
It's not a minute detail. I mean, we have an obligation to try and reduce the amount of waste going to landfill. And this
can we move on?
Yes. I think Mr. Phillips is here from the, I believe he's the demographer. It looks like he's online. Is that the gentleman we're waiting for?
It is. I would suggest you finish item six and take public comment after board reports, and then, then he can have his time.
Okay. Swing on to board of director. Outside committee reports, Vice President Villa?
I have no report.
Okay. Director Gibson?
Nothing to report.
Well, Director White has a very brief report on a 16-minute sanitation district meeting, and we approved some very minor changes to the bylaws, and there was a few brief reports on operational activities, and then the meeting was canceled. I mean, it was over. Thank you. Director Austin?
Yes, I'm going to give a quick report on the Vitality Advisory Council of Oceano, what VACO is we're commonly called. It's the first time we've given a report.
I'm sorry, point of order, that's not one of the committees of the OCSD.
No, I'm going to give a report on this. It is a board of directors.
Can I give a report on the Sierra Club then? I mean, this is not one of our committees.
The Oceano Advisory Council gives a report. The Vitality Advisory Council is going to give a report.
Well, then,
Director Tobo, you're out of line.
This board should vote
Okay. Mr. Minnery, Mr. Minnery, I need a ruling on this, please.
Okay. So I think that this is identified as committee reports. So if this is a committee report, then I would say go ahead. If it's not a formed committee subject to the board's direction, then I would move on.
This is an Oceano committee report. The Oceano Advisory Council is not a part of OCSD. It gives reports. I think we have the same.
Mr. Minnery, this is not
Please mute Director Repogo so I can give my report and we can move on with this meeting.
Mr. Minnery?
Linda.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to give my report.
No, Linda, I don't believe you can give a report because this committee has not been recognized by the Oceana Community Service District.
What do we have to do to be recognized? I mean, they've given.
But we have a member of this board that represents this board, represents the district at the OAC. We don't have an official representative of this board on VACO. And that would be
then we'll put that on a future agenda.
President White, perhaps.
Yeah, very important things that involve the community I'd like to inform the public about. Of course, I don't really need to because they're very much connected to our group. We hold our meetings in public and
Okay,
I wanted to report about the fire tax.
Linda, please.
OCSP.
Please.
So perhaps this could come back as far as recognizing that committee at another meeting.
Thank you. We'll do that at the next meeting.
Thank you.
And that ends that, so we'll ask for public comment.
And just to remind the public, please hit star 9 if you're on the phone, and then please hit the raise hand button on the bottom of your screen if you're on your computer or tablet. And with that, President White, I have no hands raised.
Okay, then could we please move to 8A, presentation from demographer regarding the creation of a division-based election system.
Thank you, President White. So just as a little introduction and review, last June, we held the first two public hearings related to our districting process or division creation process, whatever you want to refer to it as, being a special district. And that's where we took public input on the creation of maps to divide the district into five divisions by which members of the board will be elected. This is not a public hearing tonight. It's simply intended to be more of a workshop, an instructional presentation to show the public how to draw their own maps and how to submit those to the district so that they can be considered for the next two public hearings that your board will be considering when choosing ultimately the final map. So I've asked our demographer to come and discuss it again and show everyone how to draw the maps and what to take into account as they do so, and what types of things perhaps to consider when drawing the maps. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Phillips for his presentation.
President White, if I might just interject, I believe that all the presentations that are part of the four public hearing process. So essentially this is a public hearing, but in a workshop format. So I just want to make that clarification.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, President White and board members. My name is Daniel Phillips, and I'm from National Demographics Corporation. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. So it's good to be with you this evening, and I have a presentation to share with you. So I'm going to share my screen and pull that up. And can you see this title slide?
Yes.
Okay, great. So here you have a map of your district, and the black dashed line indicates the boundary of the community services district. And we've pretty conclusively established that everything within this black dashed line is within your district, including the mobile home parks on the east side of Halcyon Road. So everything within that black dashed line is going to be divided into what are called divisions. And that they're called divisions in order to avoid confusion with the district as a whole. So this is the process of transitioning to by division elections. The state actually outlines that there be at least four total public hearings. And two of these have to take place before any draft plans are presented. And so I came and presented to you, and you held those hearings way back in June of last year. And the intent of those hearings was to educate on the process and solicit input on neighborhoods and communities of interest to be aware of within your district. So Those are supposed to be held before any draft plans are presented. So tonight is going to be a workshop on the public mapping tools that are available, especially now that all the census data is updated and up to date and official. That way we can work with the data that we legally have to use. So later on this month will be the final deadline for members of the public to submit their draft plans for consideration at the post-draft hearings. Those draft plans from the public, as well as maybe two or three that we, your consultants, will put together, will be posted on the district website on March 2nd. And that is because by law, they have to be posted for review 7 days in advance of the first of the post-draft hearings. And so there will be two post-draft hearings on March 9th and the 23rd. And the purpose of those hearings is to present, discuss, and if necessary, revise the draft plans, as well as discuss the election sequence, which is basically which divisions will be up for election in which years. Finally, there will be a plan adoption hearing that will either be at the same meeting as the final post-draft hearing, which is March 23rd, or possibly it could take place at your April 13th meeting. And that will be when the final plan is adopted. And as long as that is formally adopted before the April 17th, then it will you will be on track with this schedule. So there are several rules and goals to be mindful of when drawing divisions like these. And there are three requirements that come from federal law. The first of which is that the divisions be equal in population. And by population, we mean all people counted by the census, which includes citizens and non-citizens, children and adults. And it also includes incarcerated individuals whose last known residential address is in Oceano. So that is the equal population standard. Now, the divisions do not have to be exactly equal. There is some allowable wiggle room, and it's about a 10% total variance between the most populated division and the least populated division. So there's a cushion there, but it's the division should be pretty equal. Also, something to be mindful of is the Federal Voting Rights Act, which prohibits anything that would result in a dilution of the voting power or strength or influence of a protected class group of people, which is often a racial or ethnic minority group. And in that case, we want to enhance their opportunity to elect candidates of their choice. But on the flip side, we don't want to engage in what is called racial gerrymandering, where we make race or ethnicity the only or main consideration. So all of those come from federal law, either as written by Congress or interpreted by the Supreme Court. Everything on the right-hand side are traditional principles that are optional, but that are often implemented by districts like yourself when drawing these boundaries. So the first is to be respectful of communities of interest, which are socioeconomic areas that have some common affinity or an interest that might be affected by board policies that they would be better represented by being kept together in one division. Secondly, is to draw divisions that are compact, where they have a shape that is sensible and not too bizarre. Third is to draw divisions that are contiguous, in that they're one piece each, not disconnected pieces. Fourth is to have the boundaries be visible in some way, as in they follow natural or man-made features like streets or creeks or railroad track, et cetera. This next point about respecting voters' choices or continuity in office is the idea that if possible, try to have incumbent board members in separate divisions so that you leave it to the voters to decide whether each of you has deserved another term if you do decide to run for re-election, rather than force one of you to have to leave the board because of the way the lines are drawn. So it's something that you can consider if you want to. And finally, if there's any planned future growth, you can account for that in a minimal way while not straying too far from equal population. So this next slide shows the demographic summary of your district. And I realize there's a lot of information in this table and it might be difficult to digest all at once. So I encourage you to maybe go back and look at this to really delve into the details of the different categories and the different socioeconomic demographics that are presented here. The take-home message though is that each of the five divisions must contain about 1,444 people. And we get that number by taking the total, what is called the adjusted population of 7,220 and dividing that by five. Adjusted is referring to the fact that you're taking the 2020 census count of 7,185 and adding in about a dozen incarcerated individuals from Oceano. And by law, we have to use the count with the incarcerated individuals included. So that's 7,220. So if we break down that 7,220 number by race or ethnicity, you see that Hispanics are a narrow plurality of the district's population, while non-Hispanic whites are close behind at 45%. And then you have smaller numbers of other groups. However, if you just look at those who are actually eligible to vote, those who are citizens of voting age, 18 or over, that number is just under 5,000. And here the racial ethnic breakdown is a little different, where non-Hispanic whites are the majority at almost 60%, and Hispanics are about a third of that population. And then you see the numbers of other groups. So in this slide, I lay out the different mapping options that are available to members of the public. And there are essentially three types of tools. The first type is what we call the interactive review map, which is really the main use of that is once the draft maps are our plans are posted, you'll be able to go and check out those on the interactive review map. So that's more of a review, emphasis on the review tool. The other two tools are where you can actually make your own map of division boundaries. So we have paper and Excel-based tools, and we also have a District R online mapping tool. All of these tools are available at this website, oceanocsd.org/transition-to-division-based-elections. So whether you use the online mapping tool, Excel, the paper kit, or just draw on a napkin, we welcome your maps and we will take every single submission and present it in a standard processed form. And every map that comes in will be presented. But I do want to actually demonstrate how these tools operate. So I'm going to go to the webpage where you'll find this information, Oceano Community Services District Transition to Division-Based Elections. And if you scroll down on this webpage, you will see some information about why the district is going through this process and all the facts to be mindful of. And then you will get to the place where you can actually draw a map. So there are, these are where the tools are available at these links. I mentioned the interactive map. If you click on that, you will be taken to this website, which shows the district, and there are different layers that are displayed in the right-hand side of the map. By default, the layers that are checked to display are elementary school attendance areas, population units, which shows how many people live in each of these little areas, and general planned land use designations. If you want to know what the colors mean, go to the legend at the top left corner. And there you can see that each of the colors represents a certain type of land use. So the light yellow is residential single family, and then you have multifamily in the darker yellow. And then you have commercial in red, industrial in gray, and recreation in green. So like I said, eventually the actual plans will be posted as layers here that you will be able to examine and zoom in and check out how the different plans compare. So that's the interactive review map. Then there are the paper mapping tools. The first one is located here, and you will see that it's essentially just a paper map of the district, and it has little population units where you have the number indicating how many people live in each of these little areas. And so you can essentially just add up the numbers until you get a division of the right size, which will be close to 1,444. And you will use a marker or a dark pen or a highlighter to draw in your divisions. And you'll just have to make sure that you add up your numbers right and have divisions that are about 1,444. Five of them. And once you do that, you can either take this back to the district office or take a picture of your map and email it to carrie@oceanocsd.org. So this is where you'll be able to do that. Now there's also what we call a supplement of that paper mapping tool, which is very similar, where you have this map and you have the different numbers indicating, in this case, it's not how many people live in each area, but the ID of each of those areas. And you essentially use this as a supplement with an Excel spreadsheet, which can be found here. And on that Excel spreadsheet, you can assign different population units to certain divisions based on their ID number. So I'll briefly show you how that looks. So it looks like this, where you have three tabs: instructions, assignments, and results. Instructions are where you'll get the instructions. Assignments is where you will actually assign each of the population units sorted by their ID number to whichever division you want to give it to. You have five divisions, so number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And as you assign population units to certain areas, let's say you're giving these to Division One, you will see that it calculates up here how many people are being assigned to District One. And here is how many people still need to be assigned in order to get close to the ideal population. So if I keep just giving ones to these units, I'll eventually get to a point where it's a pretty low number. You're rarely going to get to exactly zero, but if you can get close to zero, then you can have a division that's about the right number of people and start assigning to another division. And so once you finish doing that, you can go to the results tab to see how many people and what kind of people were assigned to that division and how far off from the ideal in percentage that division is. And eventually, once you assign all five divisions, you will hopefully get a total percent deviation that is under 10%, and it will show up as green in that case. So you can, the Excel tool is nice because it will do the math for you and you won't have the risk of doing miscalculating when manually doing it yourself with the simple paper mapping tool, and it will show up in a nice green color once you have properly balanced all five districts. So the last tool I will discuss is called the District R tool. And you will find that as the first link here. It's also labeled online mapping tool. And if you click on that, you will be taken to this webpage with the tag OCSD. And if you scroll down, you will see that there are a number of submissions to the public gallery. So a number of maps have already been made. And so you'll note that some of these maps were back in 2021. And notice how it says from blocks. That indicates that it's actually using the estimated data before we had the official census data. So if you click on one of these, it will say, uses projected 2020 population data. So in order to make sure you are using the official actual data, you will it will say from 2020 blocks once your map is posted to the public gallery. And if you open a map that looks like this, you'll notice that it says uses adjusted 2020 decennial census population. And that's the right right data source. So in order to ensure that you are using the right data source, you need to click the purple button that says built out of 2020 blocks. There are a few maps here that were recently submitted that seem to still be using the estimated data. So if you drew one of these plans, AJD or Oceano CSD1, if you click on your plan, you'll notice that it still says projected 2020 population data. So what you may have done is clicked on an old plan or a draft, one of these existing drafts, and use that as your template. In order to ensure that you're using the up-to-date official data, you need to click the purple button here. So by clicking the purple button, you will be taken to this blank map. And it says uses adjusted 2020. So you're using the right data. And you, in order to draw your map, you click on the paintbrush tool and you'll see that it's selected the blue color. And so your first division is gonna be the blue color. And all you have to do is click in the blocks that you want to add to your division. You can change the paintbrush size by going to this dial here. I like to use something like 10. And then that will allow you to not select as many blocks at once. So you just click and drag in order to add to your division until eventually you get to what is a pretty close number. At that time, I recommend clicking lock already drawn districts so that you don't inadvertently color in what you've already drawn for that blue division. Then you click on another color up here, the orange or the yellow color. And you just do the same thing where you click and drag until you get close to the right number. If you made a mistake, you can click on the eraser tool up here and take away whatever blocks you don't want in your division anymore. And so you will just keep doing that until you go through all five colors. And eventually you'll get to a point where all the divisions are drawn. I will emphasize though, you do have some wiggle room as far as how much deviation there can be between the different divisions. Now here you'll see this one went way over, so that's not gonna be enough. So if I use the eraser tool, I'll take away the ones across from 13th Street and maybe like that. So that might be a good approach. A good rule of thumb is to make sure that the maximum population deviation that you see at the bottom right corner is under 5%. It doesn't have to be exactly zero, but if it's under 5%, that's a pretty safe way to do it. So I will do one more division, which is division 5. And I just fill in the rest of the map in order to get to where I need to go. Now, something that's good to do when you finish drawing, or you think you're finished, is to check highlight unassigned units. And it will show up in red the ones that you forgot to fill in. So then you can take care of those and finish up your map. So the last thing to do is to check your maximum population deviation. It is less than 5, so I'm good to go. And so I click save, and it's going to be saved to the, you want to make sure it's selected as share now and give your plan a name. I'm going to say Daniel Demo to indicate that it's for demonstration purposes, and then click share to gallery. So then I can go back to the gallery. And it will appear. And you'll notice that it says from 2020 blocks. So you can be sure that it's population balanced according to the official data. The problem with the plans that were drawn with the estimated data is that even if it may appear to be balanced, that is according to the estimated data, which could be quite a bit off from the official data. So even if it's balanced according to the estimated data, it probably is not balanced according to the official data. So to guarantee that your plan is population balanced, make sure to click the purple button or use one of the updated paper mapping tools. So
Daniel, a couple of quick questions.
Finish one point here, and then we'll go to questions. Is that this tool is available, and we encourage you to use it. And you will. My last point is that even if your plan does not turn out to be balanced, it will still be presented. Every single plan will be presented to the board, but if it's not population balanced, there will be a little, we'll put a disclaimer on it saying it's not population balanced according to the official data. And so we will still present your efforts, but the board will only be able to legally consider plans that are population balanced. So that's my last point, and thank you for your attention.
Yes.
Regarding the maps that were done with the projected data, those people may not know that they should go back and redo those. So I don't know if they probably didn't identify themselves when they created those, I'm guessing. So
yeah, the problem with the District Arc tool is that it's anonymous unless they put in their actual name or contact info in the plan name. There's no way of contacting them directly. So that's why we put this disclaimer on the website that if you drew a District R map using unofficial population estimates, you will need to draw a new map by clicking the purple button.
Right. People might not go back after they've done it, though. So I'm wondering how we can let people know. Maybe put something on the website, or do you have any suggestions, Mr. Clemens or Mr. Minery, how we can let people know that they need to redo that?
That is on the website, that language.
Okay, so people could see that if they use the projected data, they need to do it again. Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I assume the projected data is no longer available, so people have to use the actual data now?
Yeah, well, the trouble is if they, like say, if you wanted to use an earlier, one of these earlier plans as a template for a new plan that you want to draw, you can still click on that. And when you click on that, it will, let me find a better example, this first one. If you want to use this as a template, it will be using the estimated or projected data because that was the data that this was originally drawn with. So we do not recommend that you use the click on one of these earlier drafts and use it as a template for yourself because that will still be using the estimated data. So
yeah. Is there any way to
click the purple button?
Is there any way to lock those so they can't be used as a template, or
yeah,
put a heading on there that says don't use these as a template?
Unfortunately, we don't have control over this webpage. It comes from the District R platform that's run out of Tufts University. So they have their own way of doing things, and we kind of just had to go with how they lay it out.
Any other questions?
And
Shirley, Vice President Villa, you're muted.
I think it's pretty clear for me.
Yeah, okay. I noticed that on the paper ones that there's like you could tell if there's the areas industrial, recreation, and all that. Can you do that on this last map?
Yeah, so you're talking about the District R tool?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the District R tool, again, we don't control how the map looks. We had to just go by what you see here. And if it's a pretty basic blank street map. If you zoom in, you might be able to tell a little bit more. Like you can see that there's an RV park here.
Okay, so zooming in.
Storage.
Okay.
Yeah, and the elementary school. So yeah, please zoom in to see more detail.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel, you will be preparing maps yourself to present to the board so that they have a choice of a professionally developed map, correct? With your expertise?
Yeah, but we often say we provide these mapping tools to empower the public, and the public are the ones who know the area the best. And so oftentimes a public map is the one that is eventually chosen, but we will provide one that that maybe is an option that no one in the public really considered, just to throw that out there, or maybe kind of sums up a lot of the public input. But you can be assured that whatever map we come up with will be in compliance with all the legal criteria, and it will be a viable option.
Mr. Phillips, I had a question. It seems to me that with as few a people as we have, and divided five ways contiguously, that we're going to be limited on how many other methods we can add to that. Have you done small towns before?
Yes. I'm currently working on Buellton and Solvang and Gover Beach, Arroyo Grande. We're very familiar with working with small cities.
Okay, so hypothetically, you'd start with it's contiguous, and then population amount for each division, and then what would you go, demographics? What would you go with next?
So we want to be mindful of protected class communities and not diluting their voting strength. So mm-hmm. we would want to avoid splitting up the Latino community, which is the protected class with the greatest percentage in your district, and making sure that there's opportunity for Latino and Latina people to elect candidates of their choice. And so that would probably be the next consideration after equal population. And even though contiguity is not technically a legal requirement, it's almost always done. So we would want to have contiguous divisions probably too.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of questions. I'm interested in this issue of respecting the voters' choices, because we're going into an election where there will be one open seat and one reelected seat and three people already in positions. They're spread out through the whole community. But how, I personally am not, I don't know where some of the board members that I serve with even live, actually. I have kind of an idea. But so how do you bring that into this mapping? And it's kind of like, are we protecting ourselves, or how does that come as a part of this?
Yeah, so it's up to you, the board, the degree to which you want to use that as a consideration. So it's not a requirement. It's an option. And we've in the June public hearings, there was at least one or two board members who wanted to not think about where incumbents live, but there might be other board members who feel differently. So what at least the NDC plant will do is probably come up with an option where you have each board member given the opportunity to run for reelection in their own division. And maybe we'll come with an option where there is a pairing or two. And we'll make it clear because when we're talking about election sequencing, we'll have to make mention of that. But that's also a benefit of the potential NDC map, is we would have knowledge of the incumbent addresses.
Okay.
President White, may I interject on that?
Yeah.
So it's certainly appropriate for your board to consider retaining incumbents as you're drawing maps. And the reason for that is not just necessarily to protect the seats of the sitting board members, but really as a matter of giving respect to the prior elections and the voices of the people who voted these particular board members in. So it's not necessarily just to protect you, it's really out of respect for the prior elections.
Okay, thank you. And one quick note, the map in our agenda tonight, the one with the Oceano Community Services District, is not the same as the one we have on the website. This, the one that we see that you showed us tonight, the first one, doesn't cover the state park. And I wondered what the difference might be, or if there was a difference.
Yeah, so... Or
you just left it off. It's only, it says 12 people.
Yeah, so...
It's the area that goes north along the beach.
Yeah, the district art tool has to go by census blocks, and the census blocks are not quite aligned with the district boundaries. And so there is a census block that goes up into that that recreational area. So that would be included to the extent that any people on that census block would be living within the district boundaries. Even if there is an uninhabited part of that census block that goes further north.
Okay, yes, thank you. And is beachfront property considered a community of interest? Living on the edge of the beach, is that a community of interest or just?
It could very well be if we get public testimony to that effect, or our members of the board give that opinion, we would. That would be good information to have.
And we also have a state and federal historic district, and that would also probably be a community of interest.
Yeah, for sure. And would that be the area next to the railroad track?
No, it's way to the. Would be to the east in the north.
The Halcyon area?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we're aware that of that being a community of interest that that should be kept together within one division as much as possible.
Okay.
And what about mobile home parks?
Yeah, so those could very well be considered communities of interest as well, or are just neighborhoods. And with other experiences, we found that we would certainly not split up a mobile home park. It's just a matter of, do we keep the multiple mobile home parks together in one division, or separate them between divisions. So there is a case to be made for both approaches. One would be to have a board member who's very dedicated toward that community of interest. The other line of thinking would be the residents of those parks would like to have multiple representatives to voice their concerns to. So we could either split them or keep them together in one division, whatever the board or public thinks would be the best approach.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else?
President White, if we're done with board member comments, I'd like to make a correction of my prior statement. Mr. Clemens did correct me. This is, in fact, a workshop in between your public hearings. So I was incorrect that it was one of the four public hearings. So I just wanted to make the correction.
Okay.
It is, in fact, a workshop. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anything else? Going, we'll move on to the agenda, I believe.
You may want to take public comment.
Oh, how many times do I forget that? I'm sorry, everybody, public comments.
And just to remind the public, please hit *9. If you're on the phone or if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And with that, President White, I have no hands raised.
That makes me sad.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I will see you again on March 9th.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Okay, I believe we go into consent agenda items. A is review and approval of the minutes, the regular meeting, January 26, 2022. B is review of cash disbursements, and C is an approval of a budget adjustment, CEQA exempt, and contract for consulting services to the Water Resources Reliability Program Projects 1-1 and 1-9. Do we hear anything? Mr. Clemens?
No, I just wanted the record to reflect that Director Austin left the meeting.
I am in the meeting. I never left the meeting.
Okay.
I just am having I'm having difficulty with my screen. My computer kept freezing up, so I'm on my phone now.
Okay, thank you for correcting me.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. Entertain a motion.
We approve the consent agenda.
Did you take public comment on the consent?
Public comment.
And just to remind the public, please hit *9 on the phone and then the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And with that, President White, I have no hands raised. Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it was moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Replogle?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Villa?
Yes.
And President White?
Yes. Yes. And so we will move on to 8B, review of the district's budget status as of December 31st, 2021. And I believe Ms. Cassiola may be on the dock for that one.
Yes, thank you, President White. And let me just share my screen quickly. Oops. And are you seeing my presentation?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. All right, so President White, members of the board, just have a quick summary of agenda item 8B, which is the second quarter budget review. So we'll start with the administration fund. And this is where the property taxes in the budget are kept. And as you can see, they appear to be higher than budgeted based on the estimates that were provided by the assessor's office on their countywide revenue estimate worksheet that we received. So every year, I know you guys know this, but the county collects about 60% of property taxes in December and then the rest in April. And then in expenditures, in the administrative fund, you can see they are tracking much less than budgeted. The budget worksheets, you'll see some expenditures that are front loaded. And I know we went over most of them in the first quarter budget review. And they are the CalPERS unfunded accrued liability for the members that are a part of PEPRA, and that stands for the Public Employees Pension Reform Act. And then we also have the Local Agency Formation Commission expense. Licenses is high from the Muni Code license, our liability insurance with the district, and membership expense is high since we pay for the California Special District Association upfront, the boot allowance to the utility staff members, and our annual software maintenance. Another cost that's running high but isn't front loaded is our notices line item. And this is from the fireworks banners we bought to hang around town to notify everybody of the new code that was passed. by your board or and by an ordinance. So next we have our fire fund. So the expenditures in the fire fund, they're tracking under budget. You can see there by $9,333. We have the lighting fund. These expenditures are under budget by $9,661. And then that gets us to the last fund in the general. And that the revenues are tracking on budget, as you can see. And then the expenditures in the second quarter are running lower than expected by $14,487. So then that will move us to our enterprise funds. And that is start with the water fund. So the revenues here, you can see three of the six billing periods were processed during the first half of the year. So as a result, the district has recognized 49% of our budgeted revenues. Seasonally, we expect the next two cycles to be lower than the summer billing cycles. But with that said, this our budgeted revenues still reflect the best estimates of our annual revenues. So on page 83 of your packet, which is your last page, you will see a water comparison from 2019 to 2022. And that shows in more detail of our targeted budgeted, our targeted revenues versus actual revenues. So then the expenditures in the water fund. So we have front loaded expenditures in there, and those are the water and the water for State and Lopez. We also have, this one's new, is the CalPERS UAL prepayment project debt funding for the classic and safety plans. We pay those in November and then again in February of each year. So that's for both the water and wastewater funds. You'll see those as line items. Also the memberships for our Cal Rural Water Association, and then you'll see permits, and that's for our annual encroachment permit that we hold with the county. Other funds that are not front loaded, but you can see are running high, is our meter budget, which you, as you guys know, our operations staff replace old meters until they run out of a budget there. So they continue to do that, and they're at 95% as of the second quarter. You can also see chemicals and utilities are running higher since the district increased pumping in the last quarter. And you can see classes and seminars are running high in both the water and wastewater funds since one of our utility systems operator completed a course and just successfully obtained their Class A license. And then that moves us to the wastewater fund. So the same goes for the wastewater fund as it did in the water fund, where three of our six billing cycles were processed during the second quarter. And the district has recognized 49% of our revenues, and expenditures are tracking at 44%. And you can see that savings there. Then our last enterprise fund is the garbage fund. So the garbage fund revenues are estimated to come in slightly lower than budgeted, and expenditures are coming in under budget. And that's mostly from savings in our wages and salaries after the second quarter. And with that, if there's any specific questions to a line item or one of these slides, I'd be happy to answer them. And I'm gonna unshare my screen.
I don't have any questions, Carrie.
Anyone else?
I do.
Yes, Vice President Zia.
Yeah, but did you say the in the water, the negative 18,000, that's something that it's normal?
So for right now, that's what we're estimated at. But with the upcoming cycles, we still expect that what we've budgeted reflects our best estimates. So,
okay.
Yeah.
For right now, okay.
Question, doesn't the weather have a lot to do with water use?
Correct. On the last page, we have it's a water revenue comparison, and it basically breaks down each cycle. So we have the May, the July, September, and then all the way till March, and it shows what we expect based on past usage. So we do a little estimate on it's higher. We usually collect more in May through July than we do in November through January.
Okay. Except for this week,
Except for it's summer now.
Any other questions? Okay, public comment?
And just to remind the public, please hit *9 on the phone and then the raise hand button on the bottom of your screen if you have any public comment. And with that, President White, I have no hands raised.
Okay, and we have no hearing items at this time. I guess we'll have one next time. How about written communication?
Just what I posted as an addendum to item 7C and 6BI.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. And future agenda items?
Yeah, I have one. The general manager hasn't had a performance review since 2019. I think we skipped that last year. So I'd suggest we put that on the agenda for an upcoming meeting. And I was able to obtain a review template from another CSD that will enable us, if the board would like to use it, to be a little more metric driven in the review, more objective rather than subjective.
Well, yes, we need to have the review. My experience in looking at several of those review tools is that they're pretty boilerplate without really, I found that they don't really apply well to whatever situations you're in that are different than the norm. And certainly the Oceanic Community Service District, because it's such a small staff, is certainly not the normal kind of entity, to my belief.
Oh, the template's from another local CSD, so I think it's fairly comparable, but perhaps the general manager could share that with the board and the board could decide.
Yeah, I'd like to see it first, certainly.
I could send that.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Linda.
I just have a question on our, we got the addendum for the item on 6B, there was a letter sent to us from the Oceano Advisory Council regarding their support of a marine sanctuary. And there was nothing brought up about it. I just wanted to know why we received that letter and why there was no follow-up on it on our agenda tonight.
So we'll put anything that we receive in writing prior to noon as an addendum. Just like any public comment.
Correct, but it was an addendum to the reports. It was an addendum to the report, so I just wondered why it was pulled. That's all. Thank you.
Do we want to consider a town hall meeting on fire?
I think we already were planning to do that. I think there'll be plenty of meetings. I don't know when you'll plan.
Yeah, well, no, I just wondered if we wanted to put it as a future agenda item. I don't believe it's in here.
I think we should.
Yeah, at least let the community know that we have heard them, not that we weren't already planning to do it, but.
Sure, yeah, we were planning on it. Yes. Of course, there'll be a lot of public outreach and information being distributed.
Okay.
So the last election, we had a special meeting on a Saturday, and it was held about a month and a week before the election. Do you want about the same timing?
I'd say before sample ballots go out, so people will have the meeting before all the sample ballots, whatever that time frame is. I'm not sample ballots. I meant vote by mail ballots.
Absentee ballots. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Wait, several weeks before that, if we can find out.
Do you want it on a Saturday, and do you want it in person?
Yes.
I think in person would be the best. That way we get more people.
Assuming we can do that.
Yeah.
So we'd say by then we should be able to.
what are we looking at? April, early May?
No, May. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
April.
The governor's emergency declaration expires March 31st, unless he does something different. And so that was kind of my intention, was to at least target April for in-person meetings. And then maybe, you know, the end of April, beginning of May, we could have a special one for the fire TAC.
Sounds good.
In April, I think we either need to have it early in April or after Easter. And Easter is on the 17th, right in the middle of April. And there's family things. And I mean, through the Holy Weeks, you're not going to get people to attend, I don't believe. So I'd like to either have it before or after Easter.
I think after.
Well, that's running pretty late. It's the last, Easter's on the 17th. So it'd be, you know, if we had it on a Saturday, it'd be the 23rd, for instance. I'm just looking at my calendar for.
Yeah.
I think we can let the manager work on that.
Yeah.
And do we want to schedule the manager's performance review for a particular date?
How's our business? How much time are we going to have to take on this mapping? And when is that?
We could put it on closed session for our next meeting, the 23rd.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
So I would just like to get clarification on the process. Is the closed session for the performance evaluation to determine process, or do we have a process currently in place?
I don't think we have a process.
We have no process in place. I mean, you have a proposal for a draft instrument for performance review, but you were going to send it to Mr. Clemens?
I already sent it to Mr. Clemens, so he can pass that on.
Okay.
Well,
are we going to use it or are we not going to use it?
Maybe
that decision needs to be made before we have the performance review.
Can I make a suggestion? When we interviewed for general manager, we each had, I think, 5 questions to ask the candidates. Why don't we just do that?
Because this isn't an interview. It's a performance review.
Well,
maybe you haven't been through a lot of those, but they're usually more formalized and have more to do with performance on the job versus trying to understand where an interviewee is coming from and their background and experience.
On the other hand, I think we can do what we want on the other hand. So.
Well, I think let's put on the agenda at the
next. We'll put it on the closed meeting session agenda. And if we have to do more than one, we can do more than one.
Well, it seems futile to put the performance review on the agenda before we determine how that performance review is going to be undertaken by the board members.
That could be determined in closed session.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Then I'm satisfied with that. Future hearing items, we have March 23rd, on the creation of the division-based electronic system. And is there any other items to come before this board tonight?
I move that we adjourn.
I second.
Moved and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Good night. Thank
you. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, hopefully next meeting we won't totally embarrass ourselves in front of our speakers. Thank you.